As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max 1 offer per account.
Nerd talk, talking about nerd talk, yeah!
Welcome to Nerd Talk Plus, our weekly deeper dive into the stories that make this world nerdier. From Odyssey's Nerd Talk, I'm your host, Gregor. He's been a managing editor here at Odyssey. Now he's just a guy making jokes on Twitter. He's branded from the internet, and he does this for free 99.
Oh, man, 99 cents is so much more than what I currently make.
Neither of us is a scientist, engineer, or supervillain.
Not yet.
But if you are, let us know what we got wrong, or even maybe what we got right, however unlikely.
Actually, this isn't the question of the week. We'll get to that.
Yeah, of course.
I have a question for you, though. Basically, like, of the three things that we are not yet, you know, scientist, engineer, or supervillain,
yeah,
which of those do you feel like you are the most likely to become?
Honestly.
Scientist, engineer, supervillain.
Yeah. Honestly, one or two. A scientist, it's not hard to do citizen science. You know, it's not hard
sure.
to be like,
yeah,
here's a control. Now let's try a variable. And so I actually right. kind of live my life like that a lot already. So probably scientist, but I also like my father was a nuclear engineer. And so I grew up in an engineering world. And so I would say engineering is a potential for me too. And then I'm as much trash as I talk, I have a pretty good moral compass. And so uh-huh. I feel like being a supervillain is. If you could do it without like hurting people, it yeah. would be good. But that kind of defeats the purpose.
Who do you think's like the closest to a supervillain that we have,
like that we know in our lives?
Like yeah, like not like in our personal orbit, but
oh,
like,
I was gonna say Cool Keith for sure.
Yeah, I mean obviously, yeah. Like okay, yeah. The best thing about him is that we probably wouldn't know if he was a supervillain, like because he's just such a cool guy. Like
he might be.
He could be. Yeah,
that's
he very
problem.
Well could be. No,
if you don't
like,
know Cool Keith, get a shirt made from him. He's a screen printer. He's great.
He's the best. No, like if you were to like look at our society, our broader culture as a whole, like who's the closest to a supervillain?
Yeah.
And like it's, you know, we have an entire segment of the show called Billionaires and Bad Guys. Like it's easy to point to any of them. But
no,
like,
no, it's Mitch McConnell.
Oh, yeah. Okay. There you go. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, that's an easy one.
Okay,
that guy's
yeah.
just like, what's best for me and worst for my state? And they keep reelecting me because I do... like borderline racist stuff all the time,
yeah,
and they love me
yeah,
for it.
Yeah. Okay.
Cool.
There you go. Yeah. Nailed yeah. it.
All right. So if you could tell a friend or spread the word or whatever, you can find us on the popular podcast apps of choice, Odyssey, Apple Music, leave a review there, whatever, or just holler at us with your answer to this episode's question of the week.
This episode's question of the week. What job would you replace with a robot?
Yeah.
I feel like there's a lot of jobs that are being replaced with robots that people don't want to be replaced with robots.
Right.
What's the job that you wish would be replaced with a robot?
Yeah, I got one. Okay, cool.
Okay.
So dolphins, not the Miami ones, but the sea mammals are the best. They make friends and mates and are smart. And even when we lock them in dolphin jail, they'll still do tricks for treats to keep idiot humans entertained. But today I learned that dolphins not only use whistly noises and clicks and stuff to talk to one another, but they can also identify their friends based on dolphin urine. And I'm like, Okay. I mean, my dog, like, it's really annoying. A new dog moved into our neighborhood, and now my dog can't walk 6 freaking inches without, like, having to stop and sniff. And, like, no matter how hard you pull, she's like, no, I have to smell this spot intensely. Now, the difference here is that dolphins don't have, like, olfactory glands. They don't have noses. They have the bottlenose part on some of them, but that's not, like, a proper nose. So they instead know who their friends are based on the taste of the pee.
Huh. Okay, I have a couple problems.
Well, first of all, I think you should talk about what's positive for you here, is that we're leading off the show with dolphin talk.
I mean, yeah, but you said dolphins are the best, and in my opinion, whales are the best. However, I'll let it slide because dolphins are of the cetacean family. They are technically toothed whales. So dolphins are whales, therefore dolphins are also the best.
Okay.
So I'll let that one go.
Okay, thanks.
The thing is like these dolphins, so I was reading about how we found out that the dolphins can taste each other's pee and know who each other are based on their pee taste.
One guy who just loves knocking back keystones just kept pissing off the side of a boat, and the dolphin kept coming back to me like, what's up, bro? Yeah. You getting more of that keystone?
Hey, that's Dale.
Dale, what's up, my dog? Pour me out some of that keystone.
So the way that they found out is by studying some dolphins that are being kept in captivity. So these are dolphins who are swimming around in the same pool all the time. And it's like kind of like that thing where if you were to equate it to humans, right? Mm. Like humans probably wouldn't try to identify each other based on the taste of their pee.
Well, now, there's some German ones that would, I think. But yes, I follow your point.
Now, however, if you put a bunch of humans in a prison cell where all they could do was like figure stuff out like that, like if you force them, like in the wild, these, like if you release these dolphins back into the wild and they were like start drinking each other, like all the other free dolphins pee, the other dolphins would be like, yo, like I'll just tell you my name, like you don't have to, like
it's Julio. Okay.
Yeah
Like three squeaks and a click. Come on.
It just feels like are we sure it's just dolphins, or are we not? Or like, could it just be the dolphins that are in captivity?
Okay, here's what we do. We go to prison, you and I,
yeah.
Okay?
Okay.
And then I'll pee
into
a guy's face.
Okay.
Every day for a month, and he'll stab me a lot and stuff, right?
Right.
But then after a month, you'll pee, okay?
And then like, when he wakes up,
he's like, I'm going to get you, Gregor. He'll be like, wait a second.
That's Dale.
That's who's been drinking Keystone.
Yeah. Well, and maybe that's it too. Like, did they try, did they like feed them the same food all of the time? So like the way that each of these dolphins is processing, you know, like
that's
in the
cruel
wild, they're eating a bunch of different stuff, right? They're eating whatever they can get their little flippy floppy flippers on. And
that's not how dolphins, yeah,
they don't. I know. But like they, maybe it's because it's like, well, Carl the dolphin is always eating, you know, the same tuna that they keep throwing into the pond or the pool or whatever it is that they
So you started to say it's because they're doing this with captive dolphins, and
right,
so they can
right
study it that way. It's not with like free range dolphins that they're just like, they have a
free range organic dolphins. Yeah.
Yeah. Grass fed.
Yeah. Grass fed dolphins. Whoa.
Now, this is a side note. I have two thoughts about this. One, this would be a really weird pen pal, having a pee pal. some pee at the... And then, two...
Instead of spraying perfume on the letter that you sent to your long-lost loved one, you just piss on
open up that cloaca. Yeah. Oh, some turds came out, too. Oh, well.
Oh, well. That's a little extra credit.
Oh, bleh, some ambergris, too. Cool.
Oh, man.
Oh, it is perfume.
Yeah, there you go.
And two, this makes me want a series, like a sequel, that's the word. I want a sequel to Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles that's something about like middle-aged piss mouth dolphins or something like that.
Middle-aged mutant piss mouth dolphins.
Heroes that eat with flippers.
Yeah.
That's not how it works.
Okay. So, speaking of whales, because you brought it up,
I
wanted to share a whale fact
that I found
really interesting. So, as I mentioned, so
I wish I knew how to say whale facts in whale, like.
So, like, dolphins, like I mentioned, are part of a subclass of the whale species.
The whales are well aware of it, too. Look at the subclass dolphins, losers.
You lower-class dolphin.
We got the whales. Teeth.
Humpback whales are, like, pretty awesome to everybody. Like, this is true. This is why humpback whales are my favorite animal. It's like, they will straight-up save other animals from shark attacks or from orca attacks. Humpback whales are just, like, the bros of the sea. Like, they are, like, the sea superheroes because they will save people from shark attacks, but they're racist towards dolphins, so I don't know what to do.
What? That's amazing.
No, they're not. But dolphins are lower class. So
yeah, of course.
No, but so like orcas are the largest of the toothed whale class, and which dolphins also fall into that class. Mm-hmm. And something I learned about orcas, which I should have known, is that
they don't have Invisalign.
Yeah, they don't. They super don't.
Imagine trying to make that mold. Hold still and try to scan your damn teeth, orca.
Orcas have to stay conscious when they go to sleep in order to stay alive. So, okay. Where you and I can like sleep, drift into our subconscious state, into the REM cycle and be able to go to sleep. Orcas, on the other hand, have to only rest half of their brain at a time, and they alternate which half of their brain that is asleep, so the other half can stay awake and still keep an eye out for food and for predators. Not that they have any natural predators, because they're an apex predator, but like keep their eye out for anything that might be dangerous, or keep an eye out in case there's an opportunity to like snack on a dolphin. Or do some orca humping.
Some whale boning. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
So I just thought it was like that. It'd be a really interesting, imagine how much more you could get done if you could like only sleep with half of your brain at a time, which sometimes I feel like I'm doing that anyway.
Well, so
like,
wait,
drink a bottle of wine and then go to sleep, and then you're basically only sleeping with half your brain.
But also heartburn.
So yeah, great.
So that makes me think that like half of their dreams, they're like doing their dolphin taxes, or their whale taxes rather, and then the other half of their dreams with the art side of their brain, they're just like peeing in like specific patterns so that way they can
can identify each other.
Some other dude can come up and drink it and be like, yeah. Whoa,
yeah,
Dale,
you were dreaming about taxes.
All right, you think drinking dolphin pee is weird. Pineapple on pizza is always going to cause problems in the comments section, right? That's like just a thing. No matter, you can always say that and people get upset. To celebrate National Pizza Day last week,
Dolphin pizza. Okay.
Okay, good. How about a tasty, close though, a Pepsi-roni pizza was something that a culinary institute in New York helped come up with. The cola-infused culinary concept basically replaces the water used to make pepperoni pizza. I think it's specifically the pepperoni, and I didn't know there was water in that. I just figured it was cured meat. But anyway,
yeah.
They're going to replace the water portion of the pizza with Pepsi Zero. So, now, I'm sure, again, like everything else, somebody came up with it and it like worked and it was fine or whatever. It wouldn't be like awful. It's not like the jelly bean flavors for Harry Potter.
The Harry Potter things where everything where is like, just like, this one tastes like booger vomit.
Yeah.
This one tastes like ambergris.
Like it's like not. Yeah.
That's, which weirdly tastes like ambergris.
This is all too far. But it's like, unless you're intentionally doing it to be gross, no one like a big company like PepsiCo would do that. Then I started thinking about,
you don't think like they get to the point where they have so much money that they could just be like, whatever. Like literally what's $1 billion, like it's not going to be $1 billion, but literally what's a couple $100 million in production, right?
Just name like a safer brand than PepsiCo though, right? Like it's
that's true.
It's hard to think of somebody who has played it like relatively like buttoned up for so long that they may manage this big, beautiful brand that like makes them zillions of dollars. So it's like Wendy's takes risks, you know, and it's like Wendy's is only really a thing here, and it's not even the number one fast food chain. So number one in my heart, of course, but it's not. Anyway, so I had like real bad indigestion recently, and I had a Pepsi at lunch instead of the beer that I was planning on having. I was like, oh my God, I feel way better. My wife is like, yeah, Pepsi has the same stuff in it as Pepsid.
Yeah.
And I like didn't know that. I was, because I'm an idiot, I was like, whoa, this is incredible. So like if you have like bad indigestion, you take that and feel better. And then I was like, hold up, this is the first meat pizza to both give you and cure heartburn simultaneously. I can't eat meat pizza, dude.
I also like how you're like, oh man, I've got bad indigestion, and instead of having like water or like something healthy, you're like, I guess I'll just have a Pepsi instead of a beer because I'm healthy.
I never claimed to be healthy, Brandon. I just knew that I couldn't have a beer, okay?
Man, if they're putting Pepsi in a pizza, like, I can't wait till they put cocaine Coca-Cola in a pizza.
Or in a cookie.
No, cocaine Coca-Cola and a cannoli.
Thank you. That's exactly it.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well.
I mean, that's actually a great... your idea about the first meat pizza to both give you and cure heartburn at the same time is a really interesting thought about how we can gene edit maybe some of the foods that we're feeding. Oh, crap. Oh, no. Oh, we just created an aggressive pizza.
No, that is what the dolphin bear bully hamsters eat.
Oh, yeah. Aggressive pizza?
Yeah.
PC pizza.
Get this all sorted out. Don't forget, we're still trying to figure out what the ultimate job-stealing robot is here coming up shortly. Scientists messing around editing genes in a hamster thought by switching off one gene, they'd see a reduction in aggression and social communication. Instead, the opposite thing happened, and they made Hulk hamsters that just want to smash and destroy like cute little furry bullies. Scientists say they are really surprised by the findings. Now, bullies in this case usually, in normal cases, strike out of like masking their own insecurities. These little hammies are just raging, only without the machine or the roids. So yeah,
they're just inherently mad.
Yeah, just like, oh, I'm going to bash a hole through this other hamster. Ah!
Punch a hamster through a hamster.
So my that's the best throwback. My brain immediately goes to, like, how are they going to use this against the other humans? That's, like, where I always go with the government is, like, how can someone who wants to make money off of us utilize this to control us, right? And then it dawned on me, like, well, the military is obviously where this normally would start from. But the military is looking to go all robots and drones and stuff. And so at least we don't have that to worry about. Well, maybe we'll use it to fight the robots.
So, I mean, really... The question at the top was, which are you most like? Like, what's the closest? Not this isn't the question of the week. Remember, the question of the week is which robot should replace a job. Now, the other question that I asked, though, was what's the closest thing that we have to a supervillain? And I feel like we are really close to creating a supervillain, like, self-aware hamster that is, like, just destroying for the sake of destroying. It's, like, puts him in, a little hamster wheel, and the dude is just bowling through everything on the planet.
What if you crossbred your bully hamster with a grizzly bear?
Oh my, so you want to talk about like really how they're going to use these this like technology, I guess, this like gene editing in order to do terrible stuff, right?
Give it a blowhole, make it into a dolphin bear.
Now drink the pee.
You, dolphin bear bully hamster, let's go.
You thought man bear pig was bad. Have you tried dolphin bear hamster?
Is this the villain to my new sequel to the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Yes, it's dolphin bear hamster. No, I mean what's really going to happen is that they're just going to take a entire subclass of dolphins or humans, and they're going to give them all of this thing so that they are it's like creating the Suicide Squad, right? Just create a bunch of people who don't care if they die. They're just going to be aggressive and angry all the time, and they're going to send them into the military, right?
Guess who doesn't understand that reference?
No, I'm saying that that's just what's going to happen.
Great.
Like, remove everybody, like, remove all of these people's inhibition to, like, not commit war crimes and then send them into war.
I mean, it's, Right, it's got to be the thing. Or like to go kill the homeless people to clean up or something like that. That's right. Like, I'm not advocating for that. I'm just saying that that'll be the mentality is like, well, you don't have to worry about it if you literally can't worry.
Okay, here's what's going to happen. You know those car commercials with the hamsters that drive the little boxy car? They're going to give it to those hamsters and send them into battle. And those hamsters are going to commit war crimes. And they're going to be driving tanks instead of Scions.
Backwards hat stills, though?
Yeah, obviously. They're freaking Jabberwocky hamsters.
Engineering students at Johns Hopkins University are pioneering burrito engineering. I'm obviously all in on this.
Okay, now we're creating aggressive burritos?
No. This is better. This is safer than that, okay? This is a fix for a common food tube problem. They've invented edible burrito tape to keep your sleeve of food intact during consumption. It's like the stickers on apples that you can apparently eat. Did you know that you could eat these stickers on apples? I don't know if it's all of them, but I think it's at least some of them.
I didn't know that. Does it specifically say that it's edible? Because I feel like I might just start eating apple stickers now. And
you're just eating like, and I'm not talking about apple products. I'm talking about the actual.
right.
No, you mean
all of those stickers that have been coming in the boxes with your iPhone?
Yeah, totally edible.
Yeah.
Don't eat that, please. Thank you. Anyway, they've invented this edible burrito tape, and it's like you keep your burrito from spilling its guts all over your plate, like the victim of a velociraptor attack from Jurassic Park and Dr. Alan Grant. Anyway, it's called Tasty Tape, very specific, and it's in works right now. It's been produced, and they're trying it out, but it isn't something commercially available just yet. But really, I know how to roll a burrito, not so bad, but I have a limit to how much I can fit in there before it's a disaster. I almost want you to just make a burrito that you then shrink wrap and then get the heat gun out, the hair dryer.
Well, I mean, it's kind of like the best way, in my opinion, to do a burrito at home is you make it and then you throw a little oil on the skillet and then you throw the burrito on the skillet, fold side down, and it does make a nice little crispy seal. But you have to nice little crispy seal sounds like something an orca wants to eat.
Nice little crispy seal is definitely what dolphin bear bully hamsters eat when they're not eating PC pizza.
Actually, this tasty tape might come in handy for one very specific reason.
Yeah.
So I heard recently that there was a lawsuit at some sort of sporting team event where instead of, and you will relate to this, they had a, like a t-shirt cannon, right?
But yeah, love it.
They put hot dogs in the t-shirt cannon.
Oh, I do relate to this.
You do relate to this.
Explain why.
So a long time ago, Gregor and I both worked for a professional soccer team, but it was a semi-professional soccer team, where at the stadium where Gregor got to do the broadcast, they had free hot dogs toward the end of the match, and they were throwing them through the window while Gregor and John Manley were on the broadcast. It was great for them and really funny.
I literally took my microphone away from my face, and I was like, "Hey, hot dog guy!" The team was
everybody
losing.
Loved it. I mean, it was amazing. Everybody loved it.
It was a crowd pleaser, that's for sure. The guy kept whipping hot dogs up until we got a couple, and then they like set up a camera in the booth to be able to watch it. Now, you know who didn't love it was the soccer league that they were performing in that was certainly making sure that we were never welcome back. Yeah. However, it was a stunt in itself, and it was our third of three games that we broadcast.
Yeah.
I have to tell you, there is a small amount of regret that I feel in my life because I would like to continue trying to do play-by-play announcing. And I feel like if it came down to it, the Sounders would be like, "Oh, that's cute. No, thank you."
Okay, hot dog guy.
Yeah, all right. At least the legend lives on.
Yeah. I honestly think it's amazing. Have you heard of the minor league baseball team called the Savannah Bananas?
Are they the wacky ones that do tons of different stuff all the time?
Yeah. They're playing in a for real semi-professional baseball league where but they just do TikTok dances in the middle of the stuff and like throw their and like the umpires in on it. It's almost like a Harlem Globetrotters thing, and I thought like for sure it was fake, and then I looked up, they're playing like competitive games, and not only that, they're like winning the league every other year. So
I mean, like, it's someone like where all of the players all drop at the same time to like this to a beat played over the PA, and then the guy whips in a pitch, and it's like, it's crazy.
They have a guy that's like a clown, like a rodeo clown, who does a bunch of like magic tricks and then throws the ball, and you have never know if he's throwing the ball or his hat or something else. It's super not baseball. But the that's not what I'm here to say. So there was a lawsuit at a recent sporting event because they shot one of these hot dogs out of the t-shirt cannon. But in order to make sure that the hot dog, once it got to its intended target, didn't explode because it's a hot dog and not meant to be shot out of a t-shirt cannon, they wrapped it in like saran wrap and duct tape. Well, they took out somebody's eye with one of these.
Oh,
like,
no.
Straight up shot a hot dog cannon into the crowd and just like blasted somebody in the face.
Question. And, do you think that they do like a test run of that? Do you think they go out, you know, to the backstop or like out in the like or the practice field and just launch a couple of these hot dogs? Or do you think someone just like, get it done, we're go live in 9 minutes?
I mean, my guess is if you're the guy who's coming up with the hot dog cannon idea, you're not paid enough to go out and do test runs.
Shout out to Casey Catherwood.
Exactly. I was gonna say, we know a guy that we could ask about this. Now, but this is where the tasty tape can come into play. And like, the problem is, so this is a burrito tape, right? Right now.
Yeah.
So it would work for a burrito cannon because you're wrapping this tasty tape that's holding this, like, does the ingredient specifically work with a burrito because it's tortilla in texture and taste? Or like, can they make a hot dog cannon where the tasty tape is like hot dog bun in texture and taste? Could we make a pizza cannon? Like, what food limit, like, can we... Where's the limit? Where do we draw the line at what kind of food cannon we can create because of this invention?
Well, I got to think that the mistake here is on not shooting the bun. Also, you get the tinfoil, you wrap it up, and you punk, shoot that out, right? Maybe dial down the explosiveness of this thing. But like, I also can't stop thinking about Carlos Sainz, the F1 driver, over the weekend at his home race in Barcelona was... had a t-shirt cannon for Ferrari. They had like five of them, so just hand him a new one while they refilled it so he could shoot it again or whatever. But I can only, like, what would they shoot in? Just like legs of ham?
Tapas. Just like a little machine gun shooting out small bites.
So the little mini hot dogs then.
Yeah. Little Smokies.
So that's what the baseball team messed up.
Which is why he went out onto the podium and said, "Get smoked." And
Mas fumar.
Crispy little seal.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art.
Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so it's time to bring us a full circle. It's time for our question of the week.
Question of the week, which is, what job would you replace with a robot? Not which job do you hope is not replaced by a robot. What job do you think a robot should be doing and humans should not be doing? Do you have a thought on this? Like, I mean, we'll get to the story, but like, do you have a thought about...
No, let's do it the other way. Let me read the story and then I'll tell you what I got, okay? So we talked a lot about burger flipping robots like Flippy taking the jobs of fast food workers, okay? But for the, which sucks because I feel like that's like a crappy job for no offense to the people who do it, but it's like a crappy job for like a teenager to do to learn some basic like how to show up to work on time skills without a ton of consequences.
I did that job. That was my first job.
Yeah, okay. And then obviously you line cook because you know how to make a burrito better by cooking. So that's a thing. But for the first time, it looks like the music world is in some pretty serious danger. A European scientist took a flippy bot-looking set of arms and taught it to play the cello. He said sometimes they duet together. Like, no big deal. Okay, just me and my robot playing some cello duets. I feel like the musicians... like, after seeing this, it's clunky and it has to be programmed. I feel like they shouldn't have too much to worry about.
Yet.
But then I turned and read from The Independent. Dr. Nando de Freitas said, the game is over and the decades-long quest to realize artificial general intelligence. And I guess the difference between artificial intelligence, I'll get this wrong and I'm sorry, but the difference between the two is artificial intelligence, you can ask it to comb through some data to give you back like quick results on something. General intelligence is when it can ask itself to be able to do something, when it can be like identify the problem and then solve it rather than us giving it the problem. Okay. That's the one where like the machines accelerate way beyond us. And then like they evolve independently from us and they do their own thing. While we're like, we're the humans. They're like, good for you, human. Keep scratching your butthole. Like,
yeah.
Use bidets, everybody. Anyway,
gladly.
It just hit a major milestone within a short-ish amount of time, this AI. Pretty soon, we'll be unable to tell the difference between humans and general intelligence. So can you imagine when a cello bot replaces actual human performers, not just because it's capable of the skills, but because it can make the actual art?
Mm. Wow. Yeah, it's not like this thing played a human... cello song that, you know, like it didn't just replicate a song that's already been created by a cellist.
This thing did just replicate.
But the general intelligence would be that this thing can now create art, and like honestly probably will create it better because it has the ability to comb through like a bunch of possibilities. And you know, like honestly, like music for instance is just very, it's math, right? Like you have half steps, third steps, like all of these different not really equations, but these different calculations that go into what notes will sound good with what notes, what note can resolve another note based on which scale it's on, things like that. And if you have a robot that's able to make those very complex calculations and decisions faster, imagine the complexity and the ability to create music that is more interesting and better because a human just could not without years and years and years and years of training do the same thing, right?
And like it's the same thing where they're discovering new drugs and stuff using that would take, otherwise it would take 60 years. They did it in 41 hours or whatever to find like stuff, to go through all the combinations. Like in theory, that type of introduction could, this just means crackpot idea that I came up with, but the limit of how good the music could technically be would be reached within days.
Sure.
And then what happens to the evolution of music? And then if it's general intelligence, does that mean the robot is now writing things that pleases it and not the humans? Or like, how does that play into it too? Like, does it start doing things that it likes, in which case it just likes a sea of zeros? So it's just like just one long mute. Just a rest for 900. Like,
yeah. I don't have ears. I'm a robot.
Yeah, I think it's crazy. Like, I think that there's, like, to answer the question of the week, what job would you replace? I saw a thing today about they can build the pylons for wind energy turbines out at sea. If they could use robots to do that, it would be way more efficient, better for humanity, and it wouldn't put the same people out, give them the risk. That's a tremendous amount of risk. A kid making cheeseburgers at McDonald's that I drive through and get is like, we need those people to learn things and have jobs and to keep everyone busy. But the guy that's building the tower, the space elevator.
Right. Yeah,
can we replace that? Can we get there sooner if we used robots to do it? So I think
here's
in
the
construction field, yeah.
There's actually some risk in being a fry cook
or
a line cook because I burnt the out of myself.
Yeah,
a lot of course.
I don't mean to, but working on an oil derrick not the equivalent of listening to the thing beep at you to take the fries out. You know?
look at the proper, you know, if you go YouTube, the people who work on these super tall cell towers and cell lines and stuff like that, and you look at like the amount of safety nets that aren't there because they just couldn't be there for these guys to do their job. Like, they just, the nature of their job is that it is so dangerous, and they get paid for it. I mean, but it's also like, great, your life insurance policy is 50 billion times more than what you make. So when you for sure die doing this job, your family will be taken care of, right? But like, I mean, I get like, there's that entire subreddit called Sweaty Palms or whatever. You just watch people do stuff that's just so dangerous where even just watching it, you're just like, like people that walk on the ledges of super tall buildings in Dubai and stuff like that. But these people are doing it for like their jobs. Now, I'm not saying that we should take these people who work very hard and like have honed their craft and have like risked their lives doing these jobs. I'm not saying we should be replacing their jobs, but like, shouldn't we?
Well, and that's the big difficult question all the time is that if you take the jobs away from the humans, then what do the humans do? And that's a philosophical, political debate where people argue over what our purpose is. And I'm like, okay, great. But like, what's the cutoff? Like, everything's not just black and white. Can't have machines. Everything has to be humans. Like, there's some sort of value to efficiency, and it'll create new avenues for us to take. It's just the pursuit of finding out how to do everything the most efficient with the least amount of humans so that there's the least amount of error is not going to keep humanity humaning for much longer, you know?
And so, well, I would have said that my answer was for this question was a pilot, because like, basically, I mean, I always think about that story about that I think it was a German pilot who was just suicidal and took a plane into a mountain because it was full of people. And I was like, yeah, I don't want that possibility. I just want a robot to be the one taking me to and from where I'm supposed to be going.
Better hope it didn't get cut from the robot symphony and it no longer has the
I don't have the will to live anymore.
My feelings are irreparably damaged.
001 sad. but then you think about the fact that basically airplanes right now and are already kind of flying themselves, you know, like autopilot is a thing that exists, but you do have the pilot whose job is to be there as a failsafe, right? And after all of the robotic or automated failsafes that already exist. And so basically, you take away this lineman's job, the person who's up there on the tall towers or other people on the oil rigs or on the derricks or whatever it might be. Like, you still need people. You just have to retrain the people who are, you know, my friend's dad. This is the coolest job, I think, of all my friends. But my friend's dad is he's a Baker, you know, quote, air quote, Baker.
Drugs, got it, killer.
Yeah. What he actually does is he is the mechanic for all of the automated machines in one of the big bread companies' bakeries in Seattle. And he is climbing through all of these machines and fixing them and making sure the ovens are working and the conveyor belts and all of that stuff is working. And it's like, there's still a lot of people that work in that factory just making sure that the machines are working.
Yeah, I don't necessarily align with the argument that, like, if you make machines, you have to have people to fix the machines, because
you just make machines that fix the machines.
Well, eventually it becomes that, but then also it's like, if you had 50 people baking bread and you had 50 jobs and bread cost a little bit more because of it, so you get rid of the people that bake the bread, replace them with machines, over 20 years it pays for itself. You have one guy who maintains the machine per shift.
Yeah, he also works so much. Yeah, and I think it's because they fired everybody else.
Yeah, and then
But good for Bill.
Yeah, good for Bill. But then the humans don't have the jobs. The company makes more money to reward themselves for their efficiency. There's less humans that work there, so the cost of bread goes down a little bit, but not proportionally to how much, because the company makes the money. It takes a cut of what they do. All the time when you use automation to replace humans, you are cutting out the human factor and everything, and that can be good, I guess, but it's just troublesome.
I think the question that you asked, right, is if all of the robots take all of the jobs, what are humans supposed to do? The idea is, at least the way that it was viewed in the 50s, and basically when this like science fiction kind of idea where automation and things like that became really prevalent and more popular, was, oh, if robots take all of the jobs, that means nobody has to do crappy jobs anymore and people can just do what they want. The reality is that when we replace those jobs with robots that are able to cut down overhead costs and make the companies more money, that money isn't then recirculated into society and into the culture, right? Because that's just not how humans work, because we're greedy a-holes.
Yeah.
But the idea would be, or should be, is that if we give all of the robots the jobs that we don't want to do, we can do the things like playing cello, but instead we're giving the robots the jobs like playing cello.
Now, like, how about if you took cello lessons from a robot? You know, what if that became, I wouldn't want to or whatever, but like, it'd be pretty badass. I do karate, to take karate lessons from a robot, and it just constantly exposes how bad I am at it until I get as good as a robot will let me.
Yeah.
Key there, yeah, like, yeah, doing karate. So
yeah,
it's tough. It's there's obviously, this is there's college courses on this. There's a lot more in depth you can go into these notions of kind of like just the ethics of how the future will change. But I want the highest risk jobs that put people on the line seemingly unnecessarily to be replaced by robots with human overseers or whatever. And that's, building the space elevator or the underwater research, or like, we're already seeing more of the ocean than ever before because we have drone submarines that the humans just won't. It'll be so long before we get there that this conversation doesn't even really end up panning out for a long time. But if you're talking about the robot that flips burgers, like, that sucks.
I mean, how long would it have taken this general AI to find out, how long would it have taken this general AI to make dolphins drink each other's pee?
Guess we'll have to go back to the books and ask the machines.
We always have that wild card.
Machines?
71 seconds.
Okay, great. Great.
Dale tastes like Keystone.
All right, so taking all that, we actually had a heady moment there, but it's time to boil it all down in just a few seconds here. Let's talk about, what did we learn this week? After all, this is a very heady show.
Okay, Gregor, what did we learn this week?
Well, it was very exciting to learn something about your specific topic, Brandon, to learn about dolphin bear bully hamsters. Now, a few things that I learned about them. This is the sequel to Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, obviously, is that they have they love a nice little tasty seal and
crispy,
PC pizza,
crispy seal.
Crispy seal, sorry.
Yeah.
And PC pizza, possibly a crispy seal on a PC pizza. I don't. the PC stands for Pepsi Cola. So
yeah. No pineapple, by the way.
No, pineapple free, please.
I actually love pineapple pizza.
I actually had some by accident the other day because my kid loves pineapple pizza, yeah. And I've never really cared either way. I just don't, like, it's just not what I like. I'm not, like, I don't dislike it, but I'm like, I want the same thing every time because I'm boring on my pizza, and I don't want pineapple's not it. But I had a bite of, we shared a pizza, and there was a pineapple on mine. I was like, oh, I get it. I get why you like this, kid, because it's sweet and tasty, and it cooks really nicely. It's like if you ever grill a pineapple before.
Oh, all the time.
Yeah, it's the best. Or watermelon's good too, sort of, but like pineapple's the best grilled, and it's similar. So I hear you on that. Yeah. Anyway, Brandon, what did you learn this week?
I learned this week that we're about to get so much better at launching burritos at people out of a t-shirt cannon.
I better get back to work in the booth, huh?
Gregor, yeah. did you learn anything else this week?
Wow, I was going to say something about the burritos, but I guess we'll have to... I don't know. I learned this week that general AI is a lot closer to the machines leaving us behind or just mocking us. It's going to be... I wonder if they'll be cool about it, or if they'll tease us.
Yeah.
Just robots doing that.
You are learning Jello so slow.
Nerd talk, talking about nerd talk, yeah!
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.